You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Voice sounds deeper because I'm drinking hot tea. I don't know why, but that's what happens. And I already have a deep voice for radio. I mean, for instance, most of people that come on, I have to add bass to their voices. As particularly most of my friends. Yeah, I have to take it out of mine. I know. I don't want to say that has anything to do with being a man or something like that. Kind of cliche stuff, but it is what it is. Huge drama getting set to take place in the nation's capital. A moment the Democrats could only dream about. But made possible by taking back the House. Now they can hold their own hearings. That's right. And I don't know if you'd call him the plum of all plums, the rat of all rats, but you have, right, the president's fixer going to jail. And now he's going to come and he's going to sing. Kind of like a mafia. Kind of like a mafia rat singing back in the 50s or early 60s. We watched it in, what, Godfather 2? So, yeah, that's going on today. So, great theater. On the other side of the world, the President of the United States is meeting with Kim Jong-un in Vietnam. So, why Vietnam? Well, Vietnam's a show place. Staying away from China, right? Keeping a distance from China, having a relationship with the United States and a nation that's on the rise. Vietnam, go figure. So that's where it's taking place, and we will see what happens. We will see what happens. So interesting things going on the planet today. Good Wednesday morning to you. It's the 27th day of February. We have one more day in the month, and then we're on to March. That's right. Third month of 2019, which means getting close to 25% of the way done with 2019, and then we'll be on to 2020. How exciting will that be? And another election on the way. So we have that going on. We have great theater, and you can imagine the newsies. Oh my God, they're right now. They're running in place. The media phenomenon known as Donald Trump. Yeah, who sucks the life out of the room everywhere he goes, from the border to NATO to collusion with Russia. Everywhere Donald Trump is, it is a maniacal, right, media frenzy about him, because he, for whatever his faults are, and they are many, he sells, right? People click, and so that is the currency of the realm in the media. So today it will be on display for the whole world as Michael Cohen, who looks much older than he used to look. I have to say that as I have a monitor on mute. He is seated now, and so that drama will play out. I'll tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to, Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenney are going to join us. I'm going to ask, we're going to talk about, get their thoughts on the discussion that I had with Scott Como, Lieutenant Colonel type, about his article about the future of the Marine Corps. And if we haven't done an amphibious landing, and if the only way we do amphibious landings is administratively and forcible entry from the sea can no longer be accomplished unless you completely own the skies, you, and when I say the skies, I mean satellites, right? I mean reconnaissance aircraft. None of that can bother your little fleet as it steams someplace. And then you have to land on an unopposed beachhead. Because if you can be seen, because of the lethality of modern weapons, you can be killed. Especially if you're in a container on the water. So, we'll talk about that today and see what else the Black Helicopter Brothers have in store for us today. So they will make an appearance today, which is always interesting. And I actually had dinner with Jeff Kenney last night, and a friend of ours, who's a part of the IOC fraternity, Eric Mellinger, goes by the nickname Mel. Yeah, pretty creative. So Mel was in town, and he had a friend of his, Dave Yost, and their business colleagues. And so they're out here. And so so we had dinner down in San Clemente, one of my favorite places. And it was a good time. It was a good time. You know, the other thing is, I never met Dave Yost. And one of the things that the Marine Corps is such a small place, right? And so you begin talking about places you've been, things you've done, and all of a sudden somebody you don't even know says, well, wait a minute, were you there then? Yeah, well, I was there, and blah, 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 blah. So pretty interesting stuff. And it's one of the lessons, the signature lessons of the Marine Corps is that it's not a very big place. It's not a very big place. And then I was happy yesterday because of, again, I share this, I share some of it with you. Others just come to me and I probably forget about it. But if you didn't listen yesterday, I just want to read you a couple things that I received yesterday. And I always talk about how it's, how cool it is to be me. And I'm only kind of part joking when I say, actually, I'm not joking when I say that because it is. Here's one. I got this yesterday from a retired master sergeant who you're going to meet because he's going to come on and tell his story. Just found your podcast yesterday. Listened to the conversation with Lieutenant Colonel Como intently. Enjoyed his perspective of opportunity, and that is the Marine Corps' opportunity in the 21st century, blah, 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 to redefine itself, to be more relevant, to be more relevant. Listening live now from the East Coast here in the swamps of North Carolina, where I retired a few years ago from our beloved Corps after 20 years of privileged service alongside of some of the greatest men and Marines. This morning I started listening to your podcast with Colonel Kenney, retired. he was my weapons company commander in 2nd Battalion, 2nd Marines. I spent a night or two on Lucky's Mound in the Fire Support Coordination Center. And a brilliant and funny Captain Kenny. With a brilliant and funny Captain Kenny. Hearing you two speak of mortars, arty elevation, deflection, whiz wheels, and plotting boards brought much joy to my heart. It is an example of the great man of Marines I speak of. Having been diagnosed with severe PTSD, my natural tendency was to withdraw upon my retirement. It's been a 5-year fight to get back into life, and finding this podcast with your message of post-traumatic winning is damn near fate. So for what it's worth, from one leatherneck to another, thank you. Right, so, I mean, that drops into my inbox at 9:58 yesterday. Right? And so whatever you thought, right, you were doing that day, your day all of a sudden takes a turn for the better. And then I got this. I have something to share from my time in Mexico this week. Met a young mother of two whose husband is... Now, this is from Peyton Davis, right? So you all know her, right? You know Peyton from this song. Okay, so that's Peyton Davis. And you know Peyton's relationship to the program, right? She's F-18 man's niece. Her father committed suicide when she was a junior in high school. And so she is a member of the tribe, and she's also, she preaches the gospel of post-traumatic winning. So anyway, this is from her. I have something to share from my time in Mexico this week. Met a young mother of two whose husband is an active Marine overseas. We had a long discussion about post-traumatic winning, and she said, quote, "You're exactly what I needed in my life right now. I can't believe I met you. There are so many days when I can't handle being alone and want to die and live in fear of my husband dying. And you've just given me so much hope." After I told her it's okay to struggle, but she's not going to do it alone. She left Mexico a few days earlier than Peyton did. So I've reached out to her via phone to make sure she's okay. Her sister said she was just in awe of the things I had told her and about hearing about All Marine Radio. Yeah, so that comes later in the day, right? So, I tell people, download the 10, as they're known now, the 10 tenets of post-traumatic winning, right? The 2 goals and the 8 commandments. Download that to your phone, and you don't have to look for it, man. It is all around you, people that are struggling, and touch their lives, and touch their lives with the truth. And it's cool stuff. So, anyway, like I said, it is way cool to be me. So, with that said, this is dedicated this morning to, oh no, we're not there yet. Yeah, I was struggling to dedicate it to somebody yesterday. Now I'm like all fired up, and I'm screwing it up. So anyway, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this Wednesday official hump day. Good morning to you. piece dedicated to Peyton Davis and to a mass sergeant in North Carolina. And first of all, thanks for the email, but more importantly, thanks, Peyton, for doing what you did and continuing to spread the word. And to the mass sergeant, you know it's on you now. Now that you've learned, right, your job is to touch other people's lives that you know that are struggling and make their lives better. So with that said, this is dedicated to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Interesting. All right, time to check the weather in Marineland. Clouds in 37 in Quantico, cooler on the East Coast, warmer at Camp Lejeune. Clouds in 67 already. Granbury, Texas, foggy in 61, so warmer in Texas. Warmer in 29 Palms, sunny in 47. Pendleton, clouds in 46. Okinawa, Japan, dark cloudy 72, so it's warmer there. Excuse me. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, dark cloudy and 64. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 54, so it's warmed up in Afghanistan. At the home of All Marine Radio, it's warmer. Cloudy and 52 degrees, headed for a high of 63. Rain tonight, clouds 64 and 62 degrees going into Thursday and Friday. That is a look at your weather here on a Wednesday. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and when we do, you will we'll check the news. And I also want to read to you a little bit of some of the stuff that Scott Cuomo and his fellow writers wrote about. I want to take you through that. So, I just got an email that says All Marine Radio has been selected for something, and it looks legitimate. Listen to this. Congratulations, you've been selected to the Hill Vets 100 2018. Hi, Mike. Congratulations, you've been selected, Mike. That's the first way. Okay, this guy doesn't know me. You've been selected to the Hill Vets 100 of 2018 honoree as a Hill Vet 100 2018 honoree, highlighting the most influential and impactful veterans, service members, and supporters from 2018. The list includes veterans of all eras, from the Vietnam War to the more recent Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Selectees represent a broad spectrum of veterans and supporters, from artists to elected officials to business executives, among others. We would be honored to have you in attendance at the Hill Vet 100 2018 Tribute Gala in Washington, D.C. at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce on March 28, 2019. I've attached an event fact sheet for your reference. If you could attend, please follow this link. The full list will be released on www.hillvets.org on Friday, March 1st. Currently, each individual honoree is being released via our Twitter, so please be on the lookout. At this time, we ask that you not announce publicly that you have been selected to be on this list until you have been announced, on Twitter. I'm just reading the email, okay? If you have any questions, call. What did I win? What happened? It's always good. Ooh, Hill Vet Advisory Board. Chuck Hagel, Ken Falk, Gary Augustine, Matthew Sanderson, Brian Branton. Let's see. A whole bunch of people. Bob Woodward is an ambassador for these guys. Former Army General George Casey. Ranking Senator John Tester. Seth Moulton, former Marine. Who else would you recognize here? Tammy Duckworth, Senator. She's a helicopter pilot, amputee. You've seen her in the news. Let's see, anybody else that you should know, that you would notice on here? So it looks legit. Soledad O'Brien, she's on this list. We know her. Go figure. Oh, Mac. Maybe I should go to that. The only other time I've ever been honored in my life like that is I won an award for the Small Market Personality of the Year from the National Association of Broadcasters in 2007. Yeah. So they flew my family and I down to Charlotte, North Carolina. And, it's like the Academy Awards. I wonder if they'll take my award back because I read the email on the air. So I go there and, you know, they don't fly you down unless you're going to win. So, oh my God, it's pretty funny. Michael Cohen being sworn in to tell the truth. Yeah. I don't think he rolls like that. I'm not sure if you know that, but Cohen is loyal to one thing. Used to be loyal to one thing. That's before he was sentenced to prison. I didn't realize they were so flexible about going to prison. They're letting him wait till after he had hip surgery. He looks pretty good to go now. So he's not going to prison till after he's I guess fully healed from his hip. Got to be healthy to go to jail. Anyway, I thought that was humorous. Yeah, so I stood up and to accept my award. Glenn Beck presented it. Sean Hannity's in the picture. He was the large market personality of the year. Ooh. Yeah, so then we all took a big picture together. Yeah, old Mac. Kicking it. Yeah, Marconi Award. You've heard of that, right? I don't know. Maybe you haven't. You've heard of Marconi, though. He invented the radio. So, in fact, it's sitting over there in the corner. I got to dust it off every once in a while. It's part of my I Love Me but extravaganza. So, anyway, that was my... And then, listen to this. Here's the funny part of this. A guy whose job... I kind of took, he's kind of a schlep, right, doing talk radio in you know, a town of 70,000. So I took his place. And I will say this, I enjoy this. I think I'm relatively good at it. I know I'm relatively good at it. So anyway, what I did relative to what he did, I mean, was pretty night and day. So anyway, he winds up getting fired. He was the operations manager, but he had no people skills. He was just a goof. And then his wife would run amok. And they, like, for instance, radio stations just do promotions, right? So, like, we had five stations. So one of the FM stations is down. Yeah, it's like 90s night at Suite 23 or whatever the hell this place was. And we'll be playing music and come on down and dance and meet, you know, blah, 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 all that, right? So, So his wife shows up and she has a couple friends and they start drinking and they want a drink on the tab that the radio person who's playing the music and all that kind of stuff, being kind of the host, normally the bar gives that person a tab. Well, his wife and her friends run up this big bill and the person working there said, they came to her and they said, hey, this is on your tab. And she says, no, it's not. They're not with me. Oh, well, that doesn't go over so well at midnight, right? So a series of late night phone calls go on. And it was a girl. It was a girl working at the sits. Funny, man. Radio people, like, they're the audio visual geeks from high school, right? Yeah, that's who gets into radio. Yeah, those people. So anyway, the girl who's down there, who's working, right, and dealing with this guy's wife, she calls him, finally gets him on the phone, and she says to him, hey, you need to get down here and get your dog on a leash. Anyway, so that's part of the drama. Ultimately, he takes a job someplace else. I'm not sure if he was fired or what happened, but he took a job someplace else. And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't real pleased about it. So he winds up working for UPS, right? People in the brown suits. So I'm at home one day for I don't know why, and I hear something at the door. Like there's like a knock on the door, and something gets left. And I had already gone and accepted the Marconi Award and all that kind of thing, and right, and people like in the city, it was like covered, right? People covered it as a story. And so I opened the door, and he's walking down the steps of my house, and I said, "Hey, man, what's up?" And he said nothing. I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "All right." He said, "Hey, congratulations on the Marconi Award." And I said, "Yeah, it's bullshit. I didn't deserve it." And he looks up at me and he says, "I know." I started laughing. Oh, my God. And he just walked down the driveway, got in his FedEx truck, and drove away. Oh, my God. Too funny. Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway. I'll tell you another story. He's on the air one day, and he says, so the issue of spanking kids comes up, and he says, "Well, I spanked my kids." Well, his son was like 17, and his daughter was like a sophomore in high school, so she was like 15. And so, you know, when you're like, when you do a show before or after somebody, you wind up listening to hear what they're talking about in case it spills over to your show and as you get ready to do your thing and whatnot. So I had it on, and so people start calling in, and he says, "No, I mean, I'll pull her pants down and I'll spank her." And I'm like, "Isn't your daughter in high school?" He says, "Yes." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "What difference does that make?" Like, people, and you're listening to it going, "Okay, man, get out of this as quick as you can." Oh, no, we burned it down that day. And you're sitting there going, "Oh, my God." Anyway, so, yeah, the story of my Marconi Award. All right, we'll take a quick break. Yeah, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. On your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So,
a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah.
Doing good stuff, P. Davis. All right, top story this morning is India and Pakistan are getting a kicking. Now, they've done this before, and they normally do the dance of whatever the dance, and then they go ahead and they wave off. All right, so that's normally the way it happens. So, the two MiG-21s were shot down by Pakistan. They belong to the Indian Air Force. Picture of the Indian Air Force. He's identified as a squadron commander. Let's see if this works. This is supposedly a video of his confession statement.
I got hurt and I was just getting some water.
Start again, please. Yeah, my name is Wing Commander Abhinandan. My service number is 27981. I'm a flying pilot and my religion is Hindu.
Okay.
What else? I'm sorry, sir. As per, that's all I'm supposed to tell you.
Okay.
Wing Commander Abhinandan.
Yes.
Pardon? I'm not supposed to tell you that, no?
Okay.
Not exactly the most refined interrogation you ever heard in your life. So, India and Pakistan. If you go to Twitter, if you follow things like this, you can see the part of... you can see where the two countries kind of are moving around, all right. And again, they are sworn enemies. They are nuclear neighbors, and so all of this gives everybody else that's watching, you know, cause for pause, to say the least. Pakistani Minister Sheikh Rashid Ahmad on Wednesday said the next 72 hours are crucial, and if war happened with India, it will be the biggest since the Second World War. Known for his rabid remarks, Pakistani Minister Sheikh Rashid Ahmad on Wednesday said the next 72 hours would be crucial. Blah, 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 blah. It will be a dreadful war because Pakistan is fully prepared. His remarks came amid the escalation of a cross line of control shelling between armies of India and Pakistan. He further said, Pakistan is almost in a state of war mode. Railways is being following emergency situation laws, he said, that the next 72 hours are crucial. A few days back, Ahmad said that if anyone looked at Pakistan in a negative manner, then, quote, the eyes will be ripped out, the grass will not grow, the birds will not chirp, and the bells will not toll in temples. Earlier in the day, a Pakistani Air Force F-16 fighter jet was shot down by Indian Air Defense Forces in the Rajouri sector of the Jammu region, officials said. The aircraft was brought down in Jangar area of Jammu, Kashmir's Rajouri sector, officials in the army said. And then subsequent to that, what we've seen is two Indian MiG-21s have been shot down. There's also been the crash of an Indian Air Force Mi-17 transport helicopter. So anyway, interesting stuff going on. They are, and it's one of the things the United States has sought to leverage, honestly, in the war in Afghanistan is to try to pull India further in and play that card. So again, if you're interested in following these kind of things, I've always found if you go to Twitter and you put hashtag India in there, because Michael Cohen's sucking the life out of everything else, right? You'll see a whole series of hashtags, right? One is hashtag India Strikes Back. One is hashtag India Pakistan. So if you just use one of those, you'll get a whole bunch of information. And then if you click on latest, all right, that will give you a chronological feed. You can scroll down and you can see the latest things that have been posted. There's an interesting article by Bloomberg that talks about both India and Pakistan have lost control of the narrative. When rivals allow each other to reassure their domestic audiences, the chances of conflict go down. Now, facts have intruded. India has always had the capacity to strike back at Pakistan in response to the actions of non-state actors, it's military controls, which is what Russia does, right? They use non-state actors. They did it in the Crimea. They're doing it in the eastern part of the Ukraine. What New Delhi has always struggled with is the ability to control what follows, to limit the spiral of escalation, to retaliate without provoking full-fledged war between two nuclear states. There was a brief moment after the Indian Air Force strike in Pakistani territory in the early hours of Tuesday when it appeared that a way to thread the needle had been discovered. Rather than restricting itself to attacking terrorist training camps just across the line of control that divides Kashmir, India, for the first time in decades, struck near areas that were undisputedly part of Pakistan itself. Strategists in New Delhi seemed confident that they'd fundamentally shifted the red lines in Kashmir and expanded India's arsenal of possible retaliatory measures against Pakistan-backed militant attacks. For that to be true, however, both Indian and Pakistani politicians would need to retain control of their mutually incompatible domestic narratives. The Indian government, facing a tough re-election campaign in just a few weeks, had to be able to tell its electorate that it had made Pakistan pay, claiming unofficially to have killed as many as 300 terrorist recruits. Pakistan had to be able to assert the opposite, that the Indians had hit nothing but a forested hilltop before being chased off by Pakistani fighter jets. That's why the Indian government initially was very careful to have its chief diplomat brief the press rather than anyone connected to the military. India's foreign secretary has also stressed that this was a non-military action, meaning that it wasn't directed at the Pakistani military, and that the central aim of the planning was to ensure that there were no civilian casualties. Meanwhile, Pakistan's ruling party was busy mocking the Indian media claims on Twitter, accusing journalists of watching too many Bollywood movies. So there you have it. Now, subsequent to that, you have all right, and now the article goes on to say, but one major unwelcome fact, the capture of an Indian Air Force pilot allegedly shot down as he pursued Pakistani jets across the de facto border, has eliminated the possibility of moderation. The two sides can no longer simply settle down and claim they'd intimidated each other. India said it shot down a Pakistani F-16, which Pakistan has denied. Inevitably now, Indians will begin to ask questions. Why was the MiG-21 having to fight F-16s rather than one of the Indian Air Force's frontline fighters? Was there a lack of preparation or a failure in strategy? India's ruling party, the Bharatiya Janata Party, I'm sure I butchered that, had been hoping to go to voters claiming to have a far more muscular position than its predecessors had had towards Pakistan. Its supporters on social media were already crafting the narrative. Now the government faces pressure to up the ante in an effort to get its pilot back. Here's the important point, right? Here's the it here. There is no longer a clear path to de-escalation for the Indian government that also allows it to declare victory. Nor will Pakistan be able to back down if India responds, having vowed not to allow any challenges to its sovereignty. So there you have it. India and Pakistan squaring off. Yeah, keep your eye on that. Ohio man's fired up. He's an air defense guy. If it flies, it dies. So, he's fired up. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. Email. Mac, I've used that tip that you've given a few times, and pretty cool to watch news unfold. You got to wade through some stuff, but all in all, it is pretty amazing that anywhere in the world you can sit and watch news as it breaks. I agree. In the time that it took me to read that, 7 more posts relative to India, Pakistan. And as a matter of fact, right, just mentioned in the article, right, you have a reporter, right, writing the following. Please don't talk about Wing Commander, hashtag, and then his name. Abinanon? It was a suicide mission from the word go. How on earth will a 1960s jet stand a chance against an F-16? People need to ask this to the defense ministry. Yeah, I'm thinking. So, anyway. All right. Check some Marine Corps news. India and Pakistan. Go figure. This is the kind of day and age we're living in. A headline, another Marine is being investigated for neo-Nazi ties amid military concerns about white supremacy. So, we just had a guy get arrested, right? A Coast Guard whack job, right? But, Coast Guard Lieutenant Richard Hassan, a former Marine, who's a longtime white nationalist, has lawmakers worried that military leaders may not be adequately tracking white supremacy issues within their ranks. How do you track white supremacy issues in your ranks? One, if you get any inkling of that, that's so beyond the pale. So, do I need to track all their social media? Is that what I'm responsible for now, too? Social media was a buzz over the weekend as several internet sleuths outed a Twitter account posting racist, anti-Semitic, and Nazi propaganda. The account is allegedly tied to an infantry Marine stationed in Hawaii. The Twitter handle of Jacobite Edward, run by Lance Corporal Mason Mead, 3rd Battalion 1st Marine, included scores of Nazi propaganda and even depicted military explosive placed in the shape of a swastika. So you have some Lance Corporal, right? And this is now a story in, I don't know, it's just... Okay. All right. I guess that's important. Sorry. Right? It's stupid. It's young, stupid, being young and stupid. Now it gets... But again, you cross that threshold of racism and anti-Semitism, and it is the stuff of clickbait. U.S. Northern Commander, this is national news, says no military threat on the southern border. Under pointed questioning from senators, the top U.S. General for Homeland Defense, NORTHCOM, said Tuesday that he sees no military threat coming from the southern border with Mexico, but his focus is on a very real threat from Russia and China. Air Force General Terrence O'Shaughnessy, commander of U.S. NORTHCOM, right? So he was cornered by Democrats. Right? He's cornered by Democrats. There is no military threat. Directly refuting the President of the United States. So, that's news this morning. Also, top 5 stories in Early Bird. Well, number 1, how the U.S. Air Force's Kessel Run team plans to solve one of the F-35 program's biggest headaches. Right. So there's a maintenance story in the news this morning. Two, U.S. Northern Command leader says no military threat on the southern border. Well, I don't. Did the president say that it was a military threat? He said there was a national emergency. So when you get when the politicians start getting their X-Acto knives out, the response to that is nobody ever said it was a military emergency. We said it was a national emergency involving human trafficking, drug trafficking, and illegal immigration. That's the military's being used in response to that national emergency, not a military threat. Oh, okay. Now, should the military still be down there and all that? I'm not so sure. All right, I'm not so sure. What are they doing down there? I would like to see that. So what are they doing now? They went down there in response to those caravans. We saw pictures of them putting up walls. What are they doing down there now? Number three, see, this is how you know it's a slow news day. The subterranean battlefield, warfare is going underground into dark, tight spaces. Okay. Slow news day. Number four, U.S. Cyber Command operations disrupted internet access of Russian troll factory on the day of the 2018 midterm. Yeah, how about that? Trolls, take that. Washington Post, as always, keep reading it for, sorry, not doing that. Anyway, so that's in the news, not even that interesting of an article. Number five, U.S. nuclear general worries over Russia's weapons outside New START treaty. Okay, remember yesterday, we're targeting these cities. The U.S. general who oversees America's nuclear forces expressed concern Tuesday that Russia is developing new strategic weapons outside of the START treaty, which is set to expire in 2021. The comments by Air Force General John Hyten, H-Y-T-E-N, come in the wake of the United States withdrawing from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Force Treaty, freeing Moscow to develop and deploy new missiles. But they've already been doing that. Sometimes I don't get. I get concerned 10 years and beyond with torpedoes, with cruise missiles, with hypersonic, that it can go completely in the other direction, that we would have difficulty. I have no problem saying I can defend the nation today, and I think the commander after me can, but I worry about the commander after the commander after the commander. Oh, that just threw me for a loop right there. The commander after the commander after the commander. Hyten says he wants to expand the new START to include Russian capabilities and emphasize the value of the treaty's verification process. The treaty allows the U.S. to inspect and gain insight into the real capability of Russian strategic arsenal and vice versa. Yet, in an exchange with Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren, you've heard of her, Hyten seemed to leave an opening to justify the new START's termination. I've stated for the record, and I haven't changed my opinion, that I support new START, but you have to have a partner who wants to participate, he said. If the Russians continue to build capabilities outside of the new START treaty that aren't accountable under the table, under the treaty, if there is a new strategic arm that appears, they should take that to the table to discuss it, he said. If they won't do that, that's part of what we should be concerned about. Well, let me tell you, there is a shocker, right? The Russians lying about something. Never knew that would happen. All right. That's a quick look at the news. I didn't even get to the article I wanted to talk about. I should put it on the website someplace. How about if I put it on the read board? Scott Como alluded to this, so I'll do that. I'll put it on the read board. And the headline is, SASC seeks sweeping roles and missions report, : wither the Marines. And the first paragraph, Senate Armed Service Committee, and this is from last June. Senate Armed Service Committee has proposed the most sweeping reevaluation of the military in 30 years, with tough questions for all four services, but especially for the Marine Corps. Then it goes on to talk about the John McCain and our the nation being focused on defeating second-rate powers and at the expense of preparing for war with Russia and China. He found an ally in at the time, the Secretary of Defense, James Mattis. The article goes on. Here are some of the key questions the Pentagon would be required to address. Make the Marines a counterinsurgency force, question mark. The Senate starts by asking whether the military would benefit from having one armed force dedicated primarily to low-intensity missions, thereby enabling other armed forces to focus exclusively on advanced peer competition. It quickly becomes clear that one armed force means the Marines. All right. The next question, make the Army heavier with fewer helicopters. The report must include a revalidation of ground modernization efforts that the Senate Armed Service Committee sees as too vulnerable to great power combat. It calls out three programs by name, the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle, the Mobile Protected Firepower Vehicle, an Army-only program, essentially a light tank to support light infantry, and the Future Vertical Lift, intended to replace all the services' helicopters with more advanced, optionally manned aircraft. So those three programs get called out. Refocus special operations against Russia and China. Rely less on stealth aircraft and more on drones. The Senate Armed Service Committee asked skeptically whether stealth aircraft, specifically calling out the new F-35, the in-development B-21 bomber, and the proposed penetrating counter-air platform will be able to survive against increasingly advanced air defenses. It suggests that, at least in some cases, non-stealthy aircraft with upgraded weapons and sensors could do the job as well. It repeatedly lauds the increasing potential of cheap robotics for missions, from reconnaissance to combat to supply, not only in the air, but on and under the sea, on land, and in space. Whoop. No more pilots? So, anyway. So, that is... I wanted to talk about that in more detail, but we'll have to save that for next week. The... All right, so interesting stuff. From what I read, this is from Ohio. This is from Ohio, man. From what I read, last time they clashed was 2001. I'd be embarrassed to admit I was still flying MiG-21s. Interesting to hear a Pakistani F-16 got downed. When the Gen 4 planes go against each other, everyone will be watching. So, anyway, yeah, the air geeks, right? They watch this stuff like hawks. This is their realm, right? So, air-to-air combat between two developed nations. They like that stuff. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear Tim Lynch and Jeff Kinney. And we are going to be discussing, I'm going to ask them about what they think. If you've listened, for a couple weeks now, you've heard Scott Como talk about the future of the Marine Corps. And I think it's, obviously, I think it's important, and And so I want to get their thoughts on, we've all kind of watched the amphib event happening. And when I say event, it means their maintenance not so good. Their everything about them is not so good, to be honest with you. Their numbers not so good. The Navy offers them up at every chance they get. So obviously amphibious warfare not too high on the Navy's list when it comes to other priorities. So where does that leave the Marine Corps and this and the mission that the Marine Corps hangs its hat on? And what does that mean for the future? So we'll talk about that. Interesting stuff. Kind of egghead stuff, but interesting stuff nonetheless. So we'll talk about it with the Black Helicopter Brothers. So that coming up next on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio. We'll keep our eye on what's going on in India and Pakistan to see if anything happens exciting there. It's early evening, actually mid-evening there. So we will keep our eye on that. I'm not so sure that I'm interested a whole lot in what Mr. Cohen has to say. I mean, do you believe him? Right? He's now going to tell the truth? So, anyway.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.